The name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I just want to start by thanking Abuna for giving me the blessing to be with you today. Abuna Yunan and Abuna James are both very precious to me. And Abuna, I know him from a very long time. And I always say this, but I'm going to say it because he's a model priest to all of us. We learn a lot of things from him. So it's really a pleasure to be here with you and to be able to take this blessing. I want to talk to you today about a verse that we read a lot, which is when our Lord said, "And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire." I want to talk to you today about the life of purity, how to live a life of purity, of chastity and purity in a world that offers everything. Sin is everywhere, we know this for sure. And like 20, 30 years ago, it was not so accessible for anyone to look at something that make him sin as it is right now. In the past, they had some moral values better than now. Moreover, Taban, again, with the internet and all the movies and all the stuff that we hear and see, it becomes very easy at a touch of a fingertip that anyone can be exposed to something that is bad. So how do we fight back? How do we live a life of purity in the midst of all of this? So I want to talk to you about a few points that we need to keep in our mind. What causes a person to be defeated in his struggle for chastity? The first thing that we need to keep an eye on is that when my life is self-centered, I become a very easy prey to sin. Like King Solomon, he lived a very indulgent life. And he said, "Kida, whatever my eyes desired, I kept it not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy." So he basically lived a life that of indulgence, not wanting to struggle, not wanting to go about the outside of himself, a life that is centered about himself, just like a baby. "I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this." He did not think about what others want. When I go and think about what others need, when I go to serve others, when I go outside of myself, I no longer feel sorry for myself. We often fall into sin because we feel sorry. We give excuses. "Well, I am, the circumstances around me are difficult." And I give so many excuses why I should fall to sin. But when a person goes outside and serves others and start thinking about others and people who are sick, people who are in jail, people who are in hardships, then he would start thinking less of himself and thinking more of others. And once you do this, it no longer becomes about you, it becomes about God and others. So a life of self-indulgence can be a very costly life. One can fall very easily into sin. Therefore, if we are to fight back, we need to be occupied in any type of service. Go outside of yourself and serve. This way you think less of yourself and think more of others. And this way you can live a life that is more pure. The second thing why we fall into this sin also is a life of materialism. When a person is materialistic, Our Lord says, Kedah, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures forever to everlasting life. And our bodies deal with carnal things, whereas our soul, of course, deal with spiritual things. How much of time do you spend in carnal things or worldly things versus spiritual things? Again, it's all about the environment that you surround yourself in. If you're hanging around the wrong group, if you're hanging, if all what you're reading are carnal things, then of course you're going to be another, you know, easy prey to fall into this sin. But if you surround yourself with the right environment, and you read spiritual books, and your mind is going to be a spiritual mind, and a spiritual man pleases God. For him, pleasing God for him means everything. Whereas a fleshly man, pleasures means everything to him. So this is the difference. So if I am become a spiritual person, when I put my spiritual life as an important goal in my life and stay away from materialistic life, I can fight back against this sin. A third thing, of course, is idleness. This is a very serious reason why one would fall into this sin. Living without a goal. When a person do not have a goal, when a person does not have a meaning for his life, he can fall very easily into this sin. Our minds need to be occupied with something, not only necessarily only spiritual, but we can have a person could, I encourage a lot of people to exercise or to have their own hobbies and try to make good use, to have something that challenges their minds. Because when your mind is vacant, nothing challenges it. Satan is going to very quickly try to occupy your mind with thoughts. And it is, after all, it's a battle of the mind. Who occupies the mind first? If your mind is empty, Satan is going to occupy it. If your mind is occupied with spiritual things or things that are has a goal in it, then we are going to win this war. We of course remember the sin that David fell in. He was a man according to God's heart, and yet he fell into this into a sin in adultery. And actually, what causes him to sin? It's because before, when he was a man of God, he was very occupied with fighting for God. He was involved in everything. But once he started to become lazy, sit at home while his people of God are fighting for him, Satan, of course, started to bring thoughts, and he started to have vacant time. He started to sleep more and so forth, and he became very easily fell into a sin that he regretted the rest of his life. We often find ourselves sitting in front of the Facebook for hours because we don't have something more important to do. We cannot think of anything more important to do. They say that the most successful people who are the CEOs of the big companies, when you look at their life, how do they plan their day? They plan next day from the day before, and they have a list of things to do, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If they don't do from the day before, next day is going to be wasted very easily. So they plan ahead. Everyone needs to have a list of things that I need to be doing next day. So whenever you have a vacant time, you need to bring up your note and cross what you need to be doing and start working on it, and so forth. And cross it out after you're done so that you feel a sense of accomplishment. If you do this, you're going to be busy, and this way you won't fall a prey to sin. Like Saint John Chrysostom says, an empty mind is a factory for sin. We all know this. The fourth thing that leads us fall into this sin is tension and anxiety. We often, we are all, not ever, no one is immune from hard time or stress. We all have stress in our life. And priests too, of course, have that. We all have stress. But how do I deal with stress is very important. Often time, we go, when we are stressed, we go and try to, use our time in a very inefficient way. Spending time on Facebook or just trying to get your mind out. But this is not the right thing to do. If you're stressed, our Lord says, be anxious for nothing. St. Paul says to the Philippians, but in everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We often try to find a solution for stress out away from God, when God is the only one who is able actually to deal with it. Bring your supplication to God, talk to God, and God is going to give you peace at the end. Regardless whether God solved it the way you want it or not, the end thing is that you're going to get peace. He's going to give you the peace to accept it, even if you cannot solve it, if it's not solved. So we know that so we should not be fleeing for some circumstances by seeking temporary joy. Our Lord said to the Samaritan woman, everyone who drinks from this water shall thirst again. Every time one is exposed to something that is wrong, or he's going to thirst again. It's a never-ending cycle, right? And he's never going to be satisfied, but he's even going to be more sorrowful than before, more stressed than before, right? Because sin is always, would never give a joy to a person. But seek God at this time, and God is capable of giving you peace. We talked about four things that typically leads to this. First thing is a life that is centered about self, right? The second thing is materialism. How do I, what's the environment that surrounds me? The third thing is idleness. And the fourth thing is how to deal with tension and anxiety. I want to say that to you that God gave us so many guarantees for victory. I'm going to mention three of them. The first thing is the work, the grace of God. That God, when he gave us commandment like this, he gave us along with it his Holy Spirit. He gave us Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God abides in us. He comforts us, he helps us, he guides us, he makes us remember everything that our Lord told us. So it is the grace of God that God gave us. So like Pope Shenouda Akeda says, do not let your struggle be with Satan, but let your struggle be on how to gain Christ. Meaning, if I gain Christ, you'll gain everything. So not only that I ought to struggle in staying away from sin, the four things that points that we talked about. But more importantly, struggle to gain Christ. If you gain Christ, you're going to gain everything. Because once you do this, then the fight is no longer between you and Satan. The fight is going to be between God and Satan. This is exactly like David told to Goliath. Goliath was an example of Satan. He was so powerful, yeah. But he went and told him, "You come to me with a sword and with all your power and gears of war, but I come to you with one thing. I come to you with the power of God. The war is now is not between me and you. The war is between you and God. And of course, here, there is no comparison, of course, right? There is no ratio. God definitely is going to win. So in saying this, meaning that we need to struggle in prayers. We need to struggle in fasting. If I have a spiritual discipline, I need to follow. And I need to ask God to help me. Because, of course, without God, one cannot do anything. The second guarantee is the love of God and the hope that God gives us. Our Lord says, it is He who redeems your life from destruction. God wants you to be successful in your spiritual life. And God told us, regardless of what, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It's written in the book of Isaiah. So God is going to do this to you, but you need to make the step and go back. Satan, of course, wants us to fall into despair, to lose hope. He wants us to lose hope. And this is the word that he uses to us with us. He says, well, you know, how come you're a Christian and you fall into this sin? And, you know, there is no hope in you. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. But as one of the fathers of the church said, he said, how beautiful, O repentance, you have made out virgins out of adulteress. ما أجملك أياتها التوبة جعلت من الزنا بتوليين. This is the power of repentance. This is the power of coming back to God. God is willing to forgive us always. Always willing to forgive us. But we need to make the step to go back and commit to coming back. The third thing and last thing is that God, we need to remember God's promise to us. God promised us the eternal life. If I put this as the major goal in my life and the most important one, I'll be safe. Then, and I know that God is very faithful. If God promised something, He's going to do. He says, "Kidda, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." So, but I need my motives to follow God needs to be for the right thing, not because God is offering me things here on earth or a comfortable life or not, but more importantly, because God has promised me eternal life. So because He died for me, because He loved me before everything, and I owe Him a lot. So this is the reason why I ought to be following God. And when I keep this God's promises in my mind, I'm going to live a life of circumspection, living kind of carefully, cautiously, in everything that I do. So again, the three things that guarantees our victory is the grace of God. God did not leave us kidda without help. No, He gave us His Holy Spirit. He gave us His grace to help us and guide us. We need to seek God and make the war between God and Satan, rather between us and Satan. The second thing is hope in God, hope in the love of God towards us. He is willing to forgive our sins, but we need to stay fast and go back. The third thing that we need to remember God promises. When I see the goal ahead of me and I believe that God is going to give me eternal life and trust in this, then I'm going to live a good spiritual life, and because the goal is clear to me. May the Lord help us all to live a life of purity, and glory be to God forever. Amen.